6681 today.
Death March, and that was played on the Hill just a short while ago. Death to the public option, that from the Senate Finance Committee. What does it all mean? We'll break it down as they were burning the midnight oil in D.C. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Also, sadly, we're going to have to fill in the blanks when it comes to that earthquake near Samoa, tsunami causing massive deaths, just 8 on the Richter scale is the latest that I heard in a quick conversation with somebody before I jumped on the air. An 8 magnitude rocking the Richter scale. Awful, awful stuff. Villages completely wiped out. And, of course, odds and ends coming your way as well. You can bet, and I know this was happening on the Hill, that some of the aides were twittering during during the arguments that were going on during the lively debate. Joining us now, Shama Kabani. She's an expert, the queen of Twittering, if you will, the president of Click to Client. So many people just starting to wrap their brains around this idea of what is a tweet, what is Twitter, how can I use it, and what about Facebook and everything else that you could take advantage of with the internet. And as I said, politicians are doing it. President Obama, obviously, gets elected partially because he has the youth movement, and in getting the youth movement, it was all about the internet and a lot of that social networking that was going on that I just described that is happening now with politicians. Shama, thanks for jumping on America Tonight with us. We appreciate it.
Hey, Kate, my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, as I said, this is happening now a lot with news media, although the Washington Post, they could have put a kibosh on that. They said, no, we don't want, they put what they call the Twitter handcuffs on the staff there, which I think is kind of crazy. But otherwise, tweeting has become enormous. How many people tweet, do you think, now?
The numbers are up there. It's definitely in the millions. And I think the last I checked, Twitter had 60 million users.
Boy, that's incredible. You can bet they're going to be able to sell that for a pretty penny. What is it that people don't understand about tweeting? I mean, I have a Twitter account, and I always get the same question from people. Well, I don't get it. What's the deal with using Twitter? Because I think that people just go on, and this is what people have told me, they think that people just go on and say, well, I just picked up my paper, I just had a cup of Joe, I just did this, and they think it's just useless banner back and forth. But I don't think so. I think that it's a pretty good marketing tool. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, Kate, it's absolutely a global human search engine. And that's how I always like to, you know, for people to think about it, because they think of Twitter and they think, well, it's got to be like other social networking sites, but it's not. It's really what you make of it. So if you're a politician and you're following, you know, a lobbyist who are talking about specific things and you follow them on Twitter and you're keeping up with that, that becomes your own, you know, private search engine, if you will. You can find out what's going on in any part of the world on any topic. And that's really why Twitter is so powerful.
And when you get started, what are the common mistakes that people make? I was talking to a colleague the other day, and he said to me that he was doing it all wrong because he was told that the people who follow you, you know, it'll say so-and-so is following you now, that he would turn around and follow them. But that's not necessarily what you have to do, right?
Right. I mean, you certainly can, right? But it's not mutual. Like on Facebook, for example, if I was to friend you, you'd have to friend me. But on Twitter, mm-hmm. I can certainly follow you if I find your insights useful, but you don't necessarily have to follow me back. One of the biggest mistakes I see people making when it comes to Twitter is that they don't have a purpose. Just like you said earlier, you know, they're going on there saying, here's what I had for breakfast, or I'm dropping the kids off to school, or whatever it is. They're not really there with a clear goal in mind. They really don't know what they're using Twitter for.
So what with your company, because now, of course, lots of companies are springing up with this, and I know that, like I said, you're the queen of Twitter and other ways to use the internet and social marketing. So you get out there, and what do you find when you start to work with these companies? I mean, are you starting from ground zero in a lot of cases, trying to lay the groundwork and explain to certain businesses how this could work to their advantage?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, it's a new concept, you know, it's to think of the world and people as your search engine, as your go-to people. I mean, social media is all about the people become the media. You know, there used to be a time where a reviewer for the local paper would go into a restaurant, write a review up, and that would be it. That one critic would determine, you know, how well that restaurant would do, at least for the year, because people would look to that critic to say, you know, is the food and good? But now every single person who eats at that restaurant is essentially a critic. They can go, they can tweet, they can say they liked it or they didn't like it. And so for businesses, I think it's a hard concept at first anyways to wrap your mind around to say, how can we leverage this? How can we leverage the fact that people are now the media?
Yeah, boy, no kidding. Okay, Shama, tell everybody, when did you start this? I love it when we have entrepreneurs on who start at young age. How old were you when you started your first business?
Well, my first business was at 9.
What was that?
Nine, so that's fairly young. But I started Click the Client at 22.
Wow, so 22. But you know, I'm curious, when you were 9, what was the business?
You know, I sold gift wrapping paper from a catalog.
Good for you. So you must have wanted to make money early, wanted to control your destiny. What do you think it was that drove you to start so young?
Yeah, I think I was the eldest, and I was, you know, my parents were immigrants, and So I see them working hard, and I really wanted to, I had that drive. I always wanted to do something and be productive. My younger sister always says that she thinks of me when she looks at Dora the Explorer, because I was very industrious. So I think, you know, just all those things that combined, but just, I loved coming up with ideas, even as a kid.
So do you think, now, Miss Idea, do you think more and more businesses, if they don't become a little bit more savvy when it comes to the virtual world, they're going to get left behind like dinosaurs, don't you think? I think so. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you have this wonderful power, and you can really keep up. It's kind of like, Kate, what 1-800 numbers were, or toll-free numbers were, or email accounts were. You know, at first it was cool if a company had it, but now you expect the company to have it. Wouldn't it be weird if a company didn't have, like, a toll-free number if they were a big company, or if they didn't have an email address that you could reach them at? And I think you raise the bar of expectation, and then consumers expect it. So then you're looking at businesses, and people are like, well, why aren't they on Twitter? Right? People start expecting more because you've given them more options.
Yeah, no kidding. And I'll tell you what, imagine if you're so right on that. Imagine if you had a business, I don't care if it's a little business, a big business, whatever it is, and they don't have a website. They have to have a website. Have to. Because that's what people look for. Everybody Googles. I don't care if you're 85 or you're 10. Everybody understands the power of Googling and finding more information out about whatever it is. And it's a quick way to get to businesses, so that would be a very big mistake. Shama, thanks so much for coming on. Click2client.com if you guys want to check that out. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again down the road.
My pleasure. Thanks so much, Kate.
You're welcome. Shama Kabani. And it's interesting, I brought up the Twitter thing, because that's what you see. You'll see videos streaming out of even the White House. You know, they're looking down, and they're tweeting what's happening. I want to know who's tweeting out of the actual White House, though, because I've seen a couple of funky names that are on the list. You know it's not Obama, right? But who is it, right? Who is it? Who's the leak? Who's the tweet? We're talking about ghosts next on America Tonight.
If you're looking for a company that will meet and exceed your water purification needs, you need to visit purewaterfreedom.com. If you're concerned about contaminants in your water, such as fluoride, chlorine, pharmaceutical drugs, arsenic, and even iron or rust, purewaterfreedom.com has a water purification system perfect for your home or office. Purewaterfreedom.com carries state-of-the-art water filters for every application, including countertop, under-sink, shower and bath, whole house, ultraviolet sterilizers, fluoride filters, and reverse osmosis systems that remove fluoride and pharmaceutical drugs, and much more. Installation takes moments, so you'll be enjoying crisp, clean, satisfying water. water in no time. Not sure which water purification system will work best for you? Log on or call today to speak with a water purification specialist. Call 1-866-757-7644. That's 1-866-757-7644. Or visit purewaterfreedom.com. Purewaterfreedom.com. The best filtered water in the world.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and AQ. AirAndAqua.com or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
There's a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree.
Ooh-hoo.
I felt a little fear upon my back. I said, don't look back, just keep on walking.
Ooh-hoo.
I think the ghosts that have been invading my space just got us here on America Tonight because they knew April Slaughter was coming up. If you heard that familiar little bit of the theme there, we were going to come in with Ghostbusters, but it just wouldn't work. So I think someone knew we were talking about the paranormal. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, ATN, coming up. We're going to tell you what's happening in Washington and around the country as well. But first, let's talk about ghosts. Our next guest, April Slaughter, has a book out concerning ghosts in Texas, ghost hunting in Texas. I just read a book about ghosts in New Jersey. It seems that wherever I go, there are ghosts following and there are haunted places. April, thanks so much for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So, first of all, tell us about, I mean, this is what you study, this is what certainly is your passion, the paranormal. What was it that led you in this direction in the first place, way before the book and everything else? How did you get started?
Well, like a lot of people that are in the field, I grew up in a haunted home. Back in Utah when I was about 8 years old, we moved into a house that had a lot of activity, and it seemed to mostly happen around me, so I was the one stuck with dealing with all of the crazy phenomena in the house and not having anybody really believe in me. So I just decided that instead of being afraid of it, I would study it and learn as much about it as I could, and here I am.
So in studying it, and by the way, you founded the Paranormal Source. It's a nonprofit research and education corporation that's in Dallas, just in and around the Dallas area. And I think it's that's good for you. You took it from the time you were a kid and then followed it through. I like what you said there, that you wanted explanations and people didn't believe you. What were the, when you were a kid, what kind of things did you see or what was happening that you knew, okay, there's something here? What was it that was going on?
Well, I was the youngest of four kids, and we had bedrooms all over the house, but I was the only one that had a bedroom in the basement at one point. And it was a finished basement, but I had two entrances into my bedroom. It was fairly large. And all during the night, I'd have people, and I mean people that you could see, solid people, just walk into my room in and out both doors, or I'd have my lights turned on or items moved or someone shaking me awake, or I even saw animals in the basement, dogs, cats, that sort of thing. So, and it was fairly often. It wasn't consistent, but it would, happen for a few weeks and then not happen for a month and then happen for a day and not happen for a week. And but it was crazy stuff all the time. I would hear people having conversations. I'd see people moving down the hallways. I was physically touched, never hurt. That has never happened to me. But I've had a lot of experiences, and most of them when I was younger. Now it seems I go looking for them, and they happen a lot less often. But when I was younger, it was a lot. It was quite intense.
And so that was great, vivid detail you gave us. So when you told people, not necessarily your family, but when you told other people about it, they would just, chalk it up to, oh, you must have been dreaming or whatever. They would respond, right?
Sure, it was like she must have an overactive imagination, or she's needing attention for something.
Right.
And you get to a point where you stop telling people about it. If they're not going to listen, there's really no point in rehashing it. So, I just kept it to myself for a lot of years until I just decided to break out and really study it some more.
So when you go ghost hunting, I mean, it's like you said, now you're not, it's tougher for you to find these experiences when it was just happening to you in that particular house. What is it that, how do you do that? I mean, how do you go, if you took me ghost hunting, what are we doing? How do we try to get to this place where we can get this phenomenon?
Well, the way the paranormal source works, is we get contacted by a lot of residents or business owners that have activity, and they want some kind of explanation as to whether or not we think it's legitimate, if somebody's playing a prank, if there's something going on with, plumbing or electrical issues. We go in and we basically set up a lot of equipment. We have a lot of experimental equipment. And we go in and we spend a lot of time and we record our personal experiences and a lot of data on video recorders, audio recorders, electromagnetic field meters, everything you can think of. And we just log it all, review it all, cut it up, analyze it, reanalyze it, and show the clients what we get. So it's a long, drawn-out process. It's not as easy as it looks on TV.
So you really are like a modern-day Ghostbuster.
Yeah, except I'm not capturing them with my proton pack and bringing them home to power my house. I wish it worked that way. But, no, yeah, it's a lot of fun. It can be a lot of fun, but it's a lot of hurry up and wait sometimes. So it's a lot of work. It's not just thrill seeking that we're after. It's quite tough sometimes.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, so a lot of us are fascinated by ghosts. Some of us are doubtful, and
sure.
You run the gamut. We just discussed that. But what people will ask is, and you address this in the front of your book, we're fascinated, some of us, with it, or repelled by it, or scared, or whatever it is. But why are they here? How do they manifest themselves? Those are the questions you throw out in the beginning, and they're great questions, and they're the questions people want to know the answers
to.
Sure,
and I think I have a lot of theories, obviously, on why I think there's spirits still here and around us. I don't think every quote-unquote ghost that you come around isn't necessarily an earthbound spirit. People think, well, there must be some trauma or unfinished business for that person to be here. I don't come across that very often where I think somebody is bound, where they can't move around. I think people have to remember that we're the physical entities on this planet, and when someone passes away, they're no longer bound by physical means, and they can travel just as well as we can, if not better. So I think, our energies kind of interflow with one another, and things come in and out at their own will sometimes. Do I think that, traumatic events happen where, residual energies and stuff are stored? Absolutely. Do I think murder victims might hang out for a while? Yes. But I don't know. My theories are constantly changing because of the experiences I'm constantly having.
Okay, and in your book, the Ghost Hunting in Texas, you point out a lot of specific things and stories. And since I'm in, you know, we have our Big Bad studio in Minneapolis, and I'm in a satellite facility in Dallas, and I've been to a place, because we're on across the country right now for people listening, called the Majestic Theater. What is the thing that haunts the Majestic Theater? What's the ghost story there?
Well, the Majestic Theater has, as you know, as you may or may not know, actually, a lot of theaters put up the ghost light after their performances, and they usually put that up because there's a legend that ghosts will mess with backdrops and whatnot, and they try to give them something else to mess with rather than, you know, messing with the stuff for their shows. So in the Majestic, it's pretty much the same. There's people that talked to me that had experiences in the Majestic that didn't want to be named in the book just because they didn't want to get, you know, any kind of headache from the people that actually run the Majestic today. And there are things that are constantly going on there with backdrops being messed with, or lighting being messed up with no explanation, or hearing voices address people when they're all alone in the building, seeing somebody sitting out in the seats when they're cleaning up that shouldn't be there and just disappears. I don't know who it is. I haven't experienced that particular entity or several entities myself. I've only talked to people about that one because the Majestic doesn't invite investigators in to kind of prove or disprove that phenomenon. So,
yeah, I can understand that. Maybe worry. Yeah. They don't necessarily want that to get out there. Well, I think it's fascinating stuff, and the book is so interesting. I got a copy of the book from my pal Howard Cohen, of course, from your publishing group, and was just thrilled beyond belief. And for people listening, it's a great read, breaking down all the various cities and the stories there, and just the whole idea about ghost hunting. Next time you get a really hot one on the line, you got to invite us to come along with America Tonight, and we'll see if we can uncover some ghosts with you.
Oh, we'd love to do that. We'd love to have you along anytime.
All right, I'm gonna get my gear. I swear to you, April, I'm gonna call you, and we're gonna make this happen. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right, April Slaughter, and of course we're talking about the paranormal, paranormalsource.com if you go and check that out. It really is, her book really is interesting stuff, and it's, you know, it's kind of like she said, very, very matter of fact about it, and the stuff that they do that people want to know if it's just baloney and people are pulling pranks, or is there something more to it in some of these areas. So I found it interesting, and I thought some of you would find it interesting. I think almost anybody listening probably has heard a ghost story or two, whether it's in Connecticut or Illinois or Minnesota or California or Philadelphia or wherever it is, right? Well, this isn't a ghost story. You know, we couldn't make this stuff up. How does it play, healthcare, that is, on the Hill? The latest version, a big one from the Senate Finance Committee, will tell you what happened, wrap it up for you. Coming up around the bend here on America Tonight.
This is Jerry Pierce, the radio detective. Have you heard of the Millionaire Patriot? Well, you should. He has a free handgun and 5 days of firearm training waiting for you. That's right. You can attend 5 days of world-class gun training at Front Sight Firearms Training Institute and secure a 30-state concealed weapons permit, all for pennies on the dollar. Plus, if you act fast, the Millionaire Patriot will give you a free Springfield Armory XD pistol in the caliber of your choice. Now is the time you and your family need to be armed and trained to levels that exceed law enforcement and military standards. Front Sight provides such training without any boot camp mentality or drill instructor attitudes, and the Millionaire Patriot's paying his own money to help you get it. This is real. Thousands have already taken advantage of it, and you should too. Don't miss out. Secure a Front Sight defensive handgun course plus 30-state concealed weapons permit for pennies on the dollar. And get your free handgun. Go to frontsight.com today. That's FrontSight.com. Go to frontsight.com for your training and free gun.
You're listening to GCN. The Genesis Communication Radio Network.
For years, doctors and researchers have known that one of the major pathways to better health is an alkaline diet rich in minerals and antioxidants to keep the body in proper pH balance. For 15 years, people have trusted AlkaZone, the simplest way of keeping the body in pH balance, getting rid of acidic waste buildup, and boosting the immune system through antioxidant support. AlkaZone's unique formula contains potassium, magnesium, calcium, zinc, and the antioxidant selenium, along with 79 trace minerals from ancient marine deposits. Unlike other products, AlkaZone is odorless and tasteless and can be added to any beverage to offset its acidity. AlkaZone also manufactures antioxidant water fountains that will both filter and raise the pH of the tap water in your home to a pH of 10. To learn more and to place your order for a 45-day supply for only $25, visit AlkaZone.com. That's AlkaZone.com. Use coupon code RADIO and receive a limited-time discount. Call AlkaZone today at 1-800-810-1888. That's 1-800-810-1888.
eCigarettesNational.com would like to introduce an alternative to smoking regular cigarettes to all GCN listeners. It's called the e-cigarette. It looks, feels, tastes, and delivers nicotine like a regular cigarette. But because this is not a cigarette, you don't have to worry about more than 3,900 toxic chemicals and tar entering your body. There's no flame, so there's no risk of fire, and has no dangerous secondhand smoke, so it's safe for the people around you, and will save you right around 50% over smoking regular cigarettes. So, get rid of the ashtrays, the smell, and the smoke. Learn more by visiting eCigarettesNational.com. That's the letter E, CigarettesNational.com. eCigarettesNational.com. And use coupon code GCN and receive 10% off your order. Or call 1-888-329-7064. 1-888-329-7064 today. To purchase, you must be 18 or older.
Are you constantly tired, have a hard time concentrating, experience muscle weakness, or have problems with digestion? The solution may be as simple as detoxifying your body. Liquid Zeolite, available only at RestoreYourHealthNow.com, captures toxins and physically carries them out of your body. This safe and effective way of detoxifying can easily remove heavy metals and contaminants. Studies show that Liquid Zeolite captures triggering antigens, which cause allergies, migraines, and asthma, decreasing the rate and severity of these symptoms. Liquid Zeolite is a tasteless and odorless liquid that, when taken daily, supports a healthy, happy, and active lifestyle in an increasingly toxic world. And Liquid Zeolite is so gentle that you won't even know you're taking it. Although your list of ailments may be endless, the solution is simple. Try Liquid Zeolite for yourself by visiting RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Or call 1-800-976-0025. That's 1-800-976-0025 today.
Hey, I mentioned this at the top, sadly, that a bunch of villages have been flattened thanks to a tsunami in Lyon. I'll give you some of the horrible details on that. Boy, you hate to see that. You mean you got people, cars that are just swept out to sea. When you've got an 8.0, seismic activity on the Richter scale earthquake, it is a disaster that you can only imagine. The type that you've seen, and sadly, in Hollywood movies, or I guess what we saw a few years ago with that horrible tsunami in Pawtucket. Remember that, when so many people were killed that were in hotels, that were on the beaches, etc., and had no idea the strength of what was coming at them. Speaking of strength and coming at you, the public option has been shot down. The amendment fails with 5 Dems and no votes. How about that? Will there be a chance that somehow new life can be breathed into the public option? The public option couldn't be a more controversial. When you talk about health care reform, this is certainly the thing that conquers and divides, and don't we know it all too well here on ATN. So here's what the scoop was. You had a coalition of Republicans and Dems, right, on the Senate Finance Committee. So Tuesday, they defeated that option. 5 Democrats hooked up with all the Republicans on the committee to say no to an amendment by Senator Jay Rockefeller in a 15-8 vote. Here was the reaction by one senator, Rob Wyden, not too thrilled that the public option hit the cutting room floor.
My sense is that this fight is far from over, and in fact, I'm going to keep pushing for choice, both private choices and public choices, because that's how you get insurance company accountability. Of course, we would have rather won today, but the fact of the matter is Americans learned today that this system is walled off from competition and choice. I'll be offering a proposal that gives all Americans choices, like members of Congress have. Through competition, we can hold the insurance company accountable. This fight is far from over. I'll take him at his word, but I think we've got an opportunity to round up the votes on the floor of the United States Senate. And I want to make sure that all Americans can have choices. For example, under the public option approaches that have been taken in previous bills, more than 85% of the country wouldn't even be able to choose a public option. Let's make sure these choices are available to all Americans. That's what my proposal, the free choice proposal, will do tomorrow.
All right, there was two public option proposals. One of them, here's how it went. I mentioned Rockefeller. His proposal was tied to this, a government-run insurance option that would have used Medicare reimbursement rates for, like, the first 2 years. Now, Senator Chuck Schumer had a different idea, and his amendment was also rejected. The vote there was 13-10. So a little bit closer, Schumer's public plan would have negotiated rates, and it wouldn't have been tied to Medicare. So what's crazy is the more liberal amendment was offered up by Rockefeller. In a way, if you broke down the money side of it, which I was frantically trying to do with my calculator, Rockefeller is actually, his would have been a little bit more fiscally responsible if you looked at the CBO numbers. That's the Congressional Budget Office, of course. His package would have shaved off basically $50 billion of the cost of that bill over a 10-year period. Nevertheless, some sense prevailed. The Republican senators argued that the public option would bankrupt the country, which is truly what I believe. And same thing would happen if it led to the single-payer system. You know, that's the idea. I mean, it's like Chuck Grassley said. Is the government is not a competitor. The government is what? A predator? So, you know, that's the thing. But the argument comes when you start to throw in Medicare. Absolutely. Max Baucus, the man in charge of getting something passed, the Finance Committee chairman, if you're keeping a scorecard, said that, hey, the public option, the bottom line is here, we got to get something done. And here's what he said in his own words.
My job is to put together a bill that will become law. In the Senate, that means my job is to put together a bill that gets 60 votes. Now, I can count. And no one has been able to show me how we can count up to 60 votes with a public option in the bill. And thus, I'm constrained to vote against the amendment.
All right, so his idea was like, look, I got to get this through. Obama wants me to get it through. I'm going to get it through. Here's the deal. Whatever happens, whatever passes, the 60 votes, trying to get the 60 votes, whatever, the bottom line is I'm going to keep saying this. And everything that's been served up so far, you're going to see, I mean, we can't pretend we're not going to see new taxes because guess what? You're going to see it. And you're going to see mandated fees. And guess who that's going to profit? It's going to profit the private companies. Ultimately, I think what will happen is some of the politicians, and most of them Democrats right now anyway, most of them are going to be the casualties once it comes to election time again because people are fed up. And it's, you know, again, you can label anybody any name you want, but I think it's across the board. I don't necessarily think anymore, oh, it's just Republicans. It's just conservatives. It's just people that get riled up by these radio shows and go out to the town halls. And that's not true. You have people not to rehash this all over again, like a Lifetime movie that they play over and over and over and over. I had to make that jab. But it is what we've been saying it is since the end of July. You can change it up with fancy language. You can throw another 500-some amendments on, but it's the same thing. It's, you know, it's that whole idea, you know, lipstick on a pig. Well, put it in that category. How about that? So the public option shot down as the amendment fails, both amendments fail, and we'll see. There are others that argue, ultimately, that this could be revitalized. I mentioned this, and I feel like I need to give you some more details. And by the way, public option, do you think it's really dead if you weren't for it? Are you feeling a little bit better about health care reform? 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. For my part, no, because I think taxes still go up, and I think people get slammed with a whole bunch of fees the way things are reading. So here's the sad disaster in the territory of the American Samoa. Some of the details that we do know, it's been declared a major disaster area, certainly. So now federal aid will go there, and now it's all about recovery. You've got an earthquake, a tsunami, flooding, and it's continuing. I hear the flooding is pretty bad. You have urgent life-sustaining stuff going on. They can't even really try to figure out how many people are dead, but they know it's in the thousands. And at this point, well, I say thousands, thousands scrambling. They know at least at this point that they can that they can account for in the villages that there's at least 40 people plus dead and just dozens and dozens upon dozens, that's where I get the thousand from, missing at national park services. You have cars and people that were swept out to sea because you get that fast-churning water, people running for higher ground. They were huddled, trying not to get washed away, and it was, again, an incredible earthquake, a magnitude of, actually in some places up to 8.3, slamming into the South Pacific between Samoa and the American Samoa at about dawn on Tuesday. So those that could run, think about dawn, those that could run just started to run to get to that higher spot, hoping to avoid being washed out to see. So it's now a headcount situation of trying to figure out who's missing, what's happened in these villages, you know, all that sort of stuff. Now, you did have a tsunami warning in Honolulu for the various islands, including the Samoas, but it's everything just gets washed away in an instant. It was pretty strong. I guess some of the people that were eyewitnesses to this said it lasted about 2 minutes, and that's a pretty long time. Tomas is listening to us in Michigan. Hello, Tomas.
Hi, Kate. Yeah, this whole thing of America watching their president is starting to take a toll on him in the polls, I believe. I mean, he got the right wing, and they love, you know, our heroic and brave troops in Afghanistan, and they see the president in Denmark talking about the Olympics. And you got the left wing, and they love that. They definitely think public option is the most important thing out there, you know, and they see their president in Denmark talking about the Olympics. I mean, you know, he must be getting some terrible advice, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I think he's getting terrible advice. But everything that's going on now, and so the this bid for 2016, which we know, I said this, I guess, on our last show, that even what's happening in Chicago, let's be honest, to try to get the Olympics, is it really going to be something that great for Chicago when they got to shell out all that coin? But just forget the money part. And what a boondoggle it is for Obama's hometown to press him into service. But what a blunder it is as the president of the United States. He has more than blurred his priorities, I would say.
Yeah, it's almost like worrying about he has a tendency, it seems, to worry about personal things like
yes.
Chicago and that teacher over there in
yes.
Connecticut or whatever. And he's got to remember, he's president of the United States of America, you know. But, I mean, just one more thing. What do you think about rape? What is rape?
What is what?
Did you hear what Whoopi said about?
Tomas, the music is drowning you out, my friend. I'm going to have to address that on the flip side. Michael Steele, by the way, the Republican National Committee chairman, pretty much denounced the visit. That's not a surprise. Saying that it was noble for the president to pitch his hometown, but it was a distraction. Stay with us.
The phone rings and the questions are asked. I've been so sick.
What?
Will the Life Change Tea help me? Our answer is always the same. Yes, toxins and chemicals from food, water, and air are attacking you this very moment. Fight back with our all-natural detoxifying tea that works immediately. Many companies use gimmicks and misleading free trials for their campaign. We use results. Life Change Tea's formula, created by a PhD, has been around for over 20 years. There are things happening in the world that are unseen and not healthy. The public has reached its all-time record for chronic sickness. This atrocity won't change unless you call us right now. Our number is 928-308-0408. Again, that's 928-308-0408. Or you can order online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. And remember, we have the cheapest shipping in the industry.
If you're looking for a company that will meet and exceed your water purification needs, you need to visit purewaterfreedom.com. If you're concerned about contaminants in your water, such as fluoride, chlorine, pharmaceutical drugs, arsenic, and even iron or rust, purewaterfreedom.com has a water purification system perfect for your home or office. Purewaterfreedom.com carries state-of-the-art water filters for every application, including countertop, undersink, shower and bath, whole house, ultraviolet sterilizers, fluoride filters, and reverse osmosis systems that remove fluoride and pharmaceutical drugs, and much more. Installation takes moments, so you'll be enjoying crisp, clean, satisfying water in no time. Not sure which water purification system will work best for you? Log on or call today to speak with a water purification specialist. Call 1-866-757-7644. That's 1-866-757-7644. Or visit purewaterfreedom.com. Purewaterfreedom.com. The best filtered water in the world.
Why are you letting that search engine spy on you?
Spy on me?
Yeah. Don't you know Google, Yahoo, and other search engines record all your searches and store them in a giant database? You should use StartPage instead.
StartPage?
Yeah, StartPage.com, the new name for IxQuick, the world's most private search engine. They don't record your searches or your IP address, and the search results are great. Plus, StartPage is third-party certified, and it's totally free.
I don't want Big Brother watching what I do on the internet. I'm adding StartPage to my browser.
Right. Go to StartPage.com and start searching with privacy.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. There are some habits you need to break if you want to hold on to your privacy. That's why I'm inviting you to take the one-week StartPage challenge. The next time you're about to look something up on Google, Yahoo, or Bing, go to StartPage.com instead. Try 7 days of StartPage and break the Big Brother habit. Do yourself and your privacy a favor. Try StartPage.com for 7 days and start protecting your privacy. That's StartPage.com.
Roman Polanski in the news, a big fat uproar over the notorious director. And I saw an interesting question in the New York Times. They asked it, and this is exactly what I was thinking earlier in the day. Just because you're a successful artist, should you really get a free pass for your crime or your moral failings? We'll talk about it. As a quick aside here and in the mix for the first hour, what qualifies somebody to be elected as governor of a particular state? Well, of course, people like that common thread. Oh, I'm the everyday man. I'm like you. I'm going to change things. Wasn't that how our president got elected? I'm going to change things. But now we're talking about governor, okay? Governor of New Jersey, would you think he might have a little leg up if he said he loved the boss and he attended 120 Bruce Springsteen shows? He even has a website with his top Springsteen memories. This is Christopher Christie, who is seeking to become the governor in November. So the biggest boss fan in the world as the governor of Jersey. And that's how he introduces himself to people about the whole Bruce Springsteen thing. And says that, you know, he first listened to Born to Run and can just break down all the music. Here's the thing. And it's pretty great that he's devoted, I guess, to Springsteen and the Giants and the things that some people in Jersey would relate to. But going to those concerts and knowing the boss's music, does that make you qualified to run New Jersey? Okay. However, John Corzine, who is the incumbent Democratic governor, you know, let's just say he had a lot of money. So he had a lot of money to spread around when he first ran. So just because you're a rich guy who worked on Wall Street, does that qualify you to be governor of a state? I don't know. I don't know. Food for thought, right? It's even the soundtrack, apparently, for his rallies and whatnot when he's out trying to stump for votes. Corzine, by the way, is friends with John Bon Jovi, although he hasn't said he's been to a zillion concerts or whatever, and that's not what he's running on. But for the other guy, who I guess they're neck and neck, so people are relating to the guy who says he's tight with the boss, to say the least. I mentioned the sad deal with the tsunami, and of course, right from the get-go, we talked about healthcare, obviously, as one of the biggest concerns on the day for everybody, because where does it go? The public option for now looking like it's very much off the table. However, if you talk to Chuck Schumer, he would tell you absolutely not. So if you talk to the man in charge, Max Baucus, it's about getting something passed, and it is absolutely dead. Now, we have talked about this idea of what do we need to do with health care reform, forwards, backwards, and everywhere in between, including various guests that have come on to throw in the budgetary concerns for the things that were being proposed and all that sort of stuff in between. So from crunching the numbers to just realistically, what does it do to have the government completely run healthcare, which really, let's face it, it would be tantamount to it if you did have a public option. But right now, the Senate panel rejected the public option. So up in flames, right? There still is massive fallout, and we talked about this a lot in our last America Tonight. There's massive fallout from the Obama decision to go to Copenhagen to stump for Chicago to get the Olympics in 2016. And a lot of you called and burned up the phone lines, and I had a ton of email on this today. I'm going to hit up a couple of those quick emails in just a few moments here. But this is now almost midweek. It is midweek. So you're talking a couple of days before Obama makes that Olympic pitch. And there are a lot of people that are starting to react to, you know, why do we have the president? Why is the president doing this? He's not a PR flack. He's not a spinmeister or a Chicago official. So why is that happening? Here's what's interesting, and this is the thing that I thought. What if I'm one of the rival folks, rival countries, making a bid, you know, rival cities? So Madrid wants the games. Rio de Janeiro wants the games. Love to go to Rio, right? Tokyo wants the games, and they're the ones that are pretty much looming large, okay? And how will the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, be swayed? Will they be swayed by a strong political push? Obama is going to be the first sitting U.S. president, I'm sure you're not stunned by this, ever to attend and address one of their sessions. So that flight will happen Friday to support Chicago's bid. And the rivals of the places I just mentioned, they're completely unfazed by this. Because here's the deal. A high-profile presence also carries with it a giant high risk. Inevitably, it would, right? Because what if there's failure? Is there any damage politically? Is there any kind of fallout if you've got a president who comes, pitches, and Chicago doesn't get it? I don't know. How does that look? Nobody in the Tokyo contingency or Madrid or Rio seemed that concerned, but they, I guess, were pretty careful to play it close to the vest, but they're not so worried when they were asked for comments about the fact that the president of the United States is going to be there. Now, for Chicago, what would it mean if you have the president coming, making the pitch along with his wife and whoever else? What would it mean if he flies all the way to Copenhagen before the session and you're going to have 115 members there, okay, and then Chicago doesn't get the Olympics? So Obama is in for 3 or 4 hours, then flies out. Chicago, by the way, is the first of the four cities that gets to make a 70-minute presentation, then Tokyo, then Rio, and then Madrid. It's better to be first, or is it better to be last? Here's the deal, too. Is Obama going to decide whether or not to send 30 to 40,000 more U.S. troops to Afghanistan? A lot of his advisors are saying don't do it, and certainly a lot of Democrats in Congress don't want to see this happen. But for goodness sake, could we please have an answer to the riddle? What are you going to do? What's the end game? What is the strategy? Chicago's getting more love than the guys fighting the fight to snuff out the Taliban in that harsh terrain in the mountains of Afghanistan, for goodness sake. Therein lies the problem of Obama jumping on the plane. I said it last time around. Why not just, you know, do a satellite feed? Wouldn't that be enough? Have you ever seen a president do that, an American president? The answer is no. But so that would still be something, instead of actually flying to Copenhagen. So this could be potentially embarrassing if Madrid or Tokyo or any, or the other contingency, the other contingent of people, rather, the other country gets the Olympics. Because then it, I would say, it would look pretty bad on Obama, makes the flight, doesn't have the juice to turn Chicago over. Just as long as he brought his teleprompter. If he brought his teleprompter, he might have a little more luck. All right, I said that I would hit up some of the emails because I was overwhelmed with emails on what we had talked about with Obama heading to Copenhagen. Here's one from Artful Art. No way, thumbs down, should not go, should not be president. Enough said. Here's one from Jack, listening to us, KVCE in Austin. Kate, I think I said it before, this guy has no clue what he's doing, who's advising him, what a big mistake, he needs to stay put. Here's one from Bud. Bud says, I don't see what all the big fuss is about Obama. Let him go to Copenhagen. Who cares? Then he can come back after he gets to play for a few hours and maybe make some real decisions in the White House. Ooh. If you have any thoughts, shoot them to me, americatonight.net.
The strain was terrific. And impossible though it seemed, he got an idea.